Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on current events when we come back. You know, once in a while we get a glimpse of the real world through the eyes of an insider like John Swinton, for instance. It was Swinton who was the guest of honor at a banquet given to him by the leaders of his craft. Someone who knew neither the press nor John Swinton offered a toast to the independent press. Well, Swinton outraged his colleagues by replying that there's no such thing at this date of world's history in America as an independent press. You know it and I know it, he said. And there's not one of you who dares to write your honest opinions, and if you did, you know beforehand it would never appear in print. Now, I'm paid weekly for keeping my honest opinions out of the paper that I'm connected with, and others of you are paid similar salaries for similar things, and any of you who would be so foolish as to write your honest opinions would be out on the streets looking for another job. Now, if I allowed my honest opinions to appear in one issue of my paper, before 24 hours, my occupation would be gone. The business of journalists is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting of an independent press? We are the tools and vassals of rich men behind the scenes, and we're the jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. We are intellectual prostitutes. Now, these rich men behind the scenes are the movers and shakers of the Global 2000 program and this New World Order. The men and families like the Windsors and Rockefellers, Bushes, Bundys, Carnegies, and Vanderbilts. Let's wise up and start listening more to the God of Abraham and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this New World Order and Global 2000 insanity. Now, if you'd like to learn more about Global 2000, Bible prophecy, and this New World Order, call and order my free 4-hour compact disc package. Remember, it's educational, it's entertaining, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email. Click onto that email machine, send me an email request for that free general law CD package. Remember again, georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, it's time to take a look at some current events. What's been going on in the news over the past 2 or 3 months that we should probably take cognizance of, because the fall elections are coming up. That is, assuming that they go ahead with the fall elections. At some point in time, I don't know if it's this election or some other election, just like it was in Nazi Germany or in Stalinist Russia. We may have elections, but as old Joe Stalin made an observation one time, he said, it isn't who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes that counts. And I'm beginning to think that it's who's counting the votes that counts. Now, we may have a suspension of elections because of some national security issue, you know, a terrorist attack like 9/11 or something on that order. And, of course, if it's suspended, if the elections are suspended, it'll be for good reason, no doubt. Or we may go ahead and have elections. You know, the Nazis had elections. The communists have always had elections. And, of course, the guys that are running, the incumbents, are always elected, aren't they? And we saw that in 2000, and we saw that again just recently in Mexico. They've got a contested election going on down there in Mexico right now because the party that's in power stole it in a very, very tight election, just like the election was stolen in 2000, and I think the election was stolen in 2004. But over the 3 months from April to June of 2006, the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported the creation of 329,000 non-farm jobs. This was accomplished by 657,000 jobs from what they call the birth-death model, accounting for 200% of the total job creation. Without those phony hedonic adjustments, the United States would have lost 328,000 jobs instead of a gain of 329,000. Lies, lies, and more lies. Now, I'm making these citations out of the International Forecaster. The International Forecaster, by the way, is available. It's $129.95 per annum. Comes out of Florida, Post Office Box 510-518, Punta Gorda, Florida, 33951. I'll give credit to Bob Chapman, the editor. P.O. Box 510-518, Punta, P-U-N-T-A, Gorda, G-O-R-D-A, Florida, 33951, and then you have to put in -0518. 33951-0518. Comes out twice a week. Twice a week now. It used to come out weekly, but now I see that there's a midweek update for the last several weeks, so it comes out on Wednesday and Saturday. About 20 pages each. Probably the single most comprehensive news, public affairs, and economics newsletter in the world. Probably. And if there's something else that's more comprehensive, I don't know what it is. Now, there are other newsletters out there, probably 1,000. I don't know how many. There's a lot of them. They're probably all pretty good. I'm not knocking anybody. I'm just promoting this one. I happen to subscribe to it. I recommend that you subscribe to a newsletter so that you can get the other side of the news. You're getting the news from Bob Schieffer on CBS Evening News. There's no doubt about it. That's the official version. That's what you're supposed to know. That's what every American ought to know. And then there's the truth. There's the news that they don't report on CBS, NBC, and ABC. And that's one of them. See, on ABC, they report that there's 657,000 jobs created over this April to June period. What they don't explain is that it's one of these hedonic type phony baloney methodologies for making the conclusion that 328,000 jobs were created when in fact nobody's counting the amount of jobs. Nobody goes out to the employers and say, well, how many jobs did you add this month? They have a methodology that they've come up with in some scientific laboratory, probably in some university over here. And they say, well, there's so many births and there's so many deaths, and therefore there are so many jobs created. What the connecting link is, I don't know. I didn't hire anybody here on my farm over that period of time. And so if you were to ask me, I did not add to our labor force. But on the other hand, I didn't cut down on our labor force either. So for the Gordon farm, the answer would be neutral, zero. We didn't add or subtract any. And if you went to the employers of America and you asked them, well, how many did you add and how many you subtracted, which is what we used to do back in the old days, and then we came up with a number. Well, we added so many jobs or we lost so many jobs. Now, the second item over here, there's a thing called programmed trading on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, if you've been watching stocks in regard to programmed trading on the New York Stock Exchange, it made up 73% of all trades and 92.8% of all trading volume in the week of June 30th. Okay, now let me tell you what that is. you and I go into the marketplace and we call on our broker and we say, hey, I want to buy 100 shares of Walmart stock. He executes that trade and it goes on to the list, and at the end of the day, so many shares were traded and so many people bought and sold stocks. Now, we think of the stock market as being you and me and millions of other people like you and I, and we're buying and selling stocks. But when we talk about programmed trades, we're talking about mutual funds and institutional traders who have computer models, and they buy and sell stocks based upon these computer models, which has nothing to do with Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife buying and selling stocks on the market. Now, to show you how phony the stock market has become, it used to be that the stock market was made up of millions of little investors like you and I who invested our savings in the stock market to raise capital for these companies to buy, sell, and trade with. It's no longer true. And little guys like us no longer buy, sell, and trade on the market. Maybe 10% of us do the rest of it. 92.8% is trading volume that is comprised of computer models through institutions. And then you've got the plunge protection team, which is interfering in the market or intervening in the market to hold it up. They're simply buying stocks to make it appear that the stock market is robust and that the economy is cooking and everything is fine. Nothing for you people to worry about. Now, this has been going on for 6 years. The truth of the matter is there's about 10 to 12% unemployment. And then the truth of the matter is that inflation is running at 10% a year or more. And then we're being lied to and we're told that the official inflation rate is around 4 to 5% and that the economy is still creating jobs, which it isn't. And that's why I suggest that you get a hold of a newsletter. It doesn't have to be the International Forecaster. It could be the McIlvany Reporter. It could be the Privateer or the Money Changer. Or it could be, you know, the James Nielsen or somebody else. But the reason I suggest it is so that you can keep abreast of what's really going on in the world, because the world's going to hell in a handbasket and it's going on all around us and it's not being reported. So in regard to this program trading, 92.8% of all the trading volume the week of 6:30, this is when the New York Stock Exchange made up a new formula to hide the high percentage of program trading so as not to scare business away. Now, it had been growing at 18.6% a year. Now, if you analyze and you take programs out to 2009, no matter how you calculate, programs will account for over half of all trading. If you take it out to 2011, 75%, out to 2012, 90%. The American market, for all intents and purposes, is a trading vehicle and nothing more. And that means the end of investment. Now, the law enforcement in several Texas counties warn us that Arabic-speaking individuals are learning Spanish and then integrating into Mexican culture before paying smugglers to take them across the border. They believe that these terrorists and that the drug cartels and some of the Mexican military are helping to get across the border. And there's ample evidence to support this thesis. So now, the Al-Qaeda guys, they're not dumb, you know. They're dark-skinned people, and they blend right in with the dark-skinned people of Mexico. They learn Spanish, they come across, and they look like Mexicans now. So those Arabs now look like Mexicans, speak Spanish, come into the United States as illegal aliens. Now, there's an old story about the city-state of Troy, which was infiltrated by this Trojan horse. And the enemy got into this horse, and they stuck it outside the gates, and then, of course, they withdrew, and then a couple days later, you know, the people of Troy dragged this horse into the city, and inside the horse were a number of enemy soldiers. And so, when the time was right, the enemy soldiers jumped out of this big Trojan horse, ran over and opened up the city gates, and then the foreigners from outside the alien army came pouring into the city and conquered it. And the Roman Empire went down the same way. Big empires like the United States are not going to be destroyed militarily. There isn't any foreign force in the world that could destroy America militarily. It'll be destroyed from within. It'll be an inside job. Our Attorney General, at the behest of our President, has sued Verizon and the state of Maine so that our President, George Bush, can hide a sworn statement to comments previously made regarding Verizon's participation in the National Security Agency's domestic and surveillance spying program. Verizon had previously denied turning over consumer phone records to the NSA. And the Public Utility Commission ordered Verizon to detail their participation in the NSA program as part of an investigation into alleged privacy law violations. So the Department of Justice has also sued the Attorney General of New Jersey to block telecom companies from cooperating with a New Jersey investigation. President Bush and the Department of Justice has argued such suits could reveal state secrets, which a federal judge ruled that such spying was unconstitutional, which has been appealed. Now, we all know the government spied on us, and what they don't want you to know is for how long has the spying been going on? Well, this spying has been going on for at least 25 years, and it is totally outrageous that the federal government could suggest that the state of New Jersey does not have the authority to ask a regulated entity to tell the truth. Now, this is an infringement on federalist principles, and this is what a police state is all about. Now, the Dutch F-16s escorted a Northwest Airlines flight, which was bound for India, back to the airport after the pilot radioed for help and police arrested 12 passengers who had aroused suspicion. Their crimes were that they were using cell phones and then passing them around among themselves. Passengers on an airliner over Europe on a flight from the United States to India landed over in Holland because these passengers were passing cell phones around. Now listen to this. In Leviticus chapter 26, verse 36, God warned us. He said, "And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies." Are you watching what's going on here? I mean, we are now so terrified. The Al-Qaeda people must be hiding in their caves in Pakistan, rolling on the floors in absolute laughter, just tearing their guts out, spilling their guts, laughing at the foolishness of the Western world. They don't even need to attack. We're so terrified over here in the West that we're falling all over ourselves, trying to protect ourselves from something that didn't even occur. And that is the attack on the trade towers by Al-Qaeda. We're coming to that. You know, these Al-Qaeda guys over here, they're probably as bad as the president tells us they are. But they're not quite as bad as they've been made out to be. They're probably bad, but they're not quite that bad. Let's see if we've got something here on this Al-Qaeda thing. There's a little piece in here, and I was going to flip over to it. Hang on a second. Well, hang on another second. Let's see if we can get rid of that static. Well, I'm going to wait for a second here, and we'll see what we come up with here. The gist of the article here, and it's a little bit further on, I'll tell you what it is. One-third of Americans polled believe that the 9/11 attack was an inside job orchestrated by the White House. Now, that's one-third. One-third. If you haven't seen some of the films that have been put out and some of the underground press information on the trade towers, you ought to ask around. There's a lot of it out there. And I've seen several of them, and it certainly raised a lot of questions in my mind. And I just wanted to report that one out of three Americans now believe that it was President Bush that orchestrated through the CIA these attacks, these airplane attacks on the trade towers. All right, now up to 21,000 borrowers had their personal data exposed to other users on a student loan website this week due to a software glitch, said the U.S. Department of Education. This shows you again just how unsafe your personal data is in the hands of our government. Now, have you noticed in the last, three months, there was several million names and addresses and the personal information of veterans that was leaked out. Remember that? And I have probably seen three or more other reports of banks that have lost 40,000 or 100,000 names, you know, and then there's this report here and so on. Now, that sends me a signal. This wasn't happening last year or 5 years ago, but all of a sudden it's starting to happen. So my guess is that the government is coming in here. This is the National Security Agency, or the CIA, or the FBI, or combination of the above. And they're getting into these records and books over here, and to cover their tracks, and they say, oh my God, somebody stole it. Oh my God, it was leaked out. Oh my God. And that way, it wasn't spying going on. It was an inadvertent leak. And we just picked up the information because it was out there. Governments lie a lot. Now listen to this. Peter Hoekstra, H-O-E-K-S-T-R-A, he is a representative, a Republican representative from Michigan. Well, Peter Hoekstra had to explain why a staff report was made public before the House Intelligence Committee approved its release. So Mr. Hoekstra broke the rules for political reasons, and his answer was, quote, "We think it is important for the American people to understand the kinds of pressure that we're facing and to increase the American public's understanding of Iran as a threat," unquote. I'm going to read that to you again. What he did here was he released some secure information. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. And so when your government wants you and me to get information that we're allegedly not supposed to have, but they want us to have that because they want us to believe something, they want to propagandize us, they have a leak. Now, these leaks go to the press, and so here's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. He leaked this information to the press so that the press would publish it, so that you and I would get this information about how wicked, evil, and terrible and awful these Iranians are. He said, "We think it's important." This is Peter Hoekstra now. This is the chairman. He says, "We think it's important for the American people," that's you and me, partner, "to understand the kinds of pressure that we're facing and to increase the American public's understanding of Iran as a threat." So, partner, you and I are supposed to understand how serious this Iran threat is. Can you remember how important it was for us to understand the Iraq threat and the weapons of mass destruction there in Iraq? Remember that? A few years back? And so they had these same kinds of leaks going out there. Oh my God, that Saddam Hussein, he's got nuclear weapons. Oh my God, he's building nuclear. Oh my God, he's got gas and chemical weapons and he's just about to give them to Al-Qaeda. Remember that? All right. So what gobbledygook, in an effort to tone down the committee's findings, Hoekstra is a hardline hawk on Iran and fully backs the White House position that this Islamic Republic of Iran is moving forward with a nuclear weapons program and it poses a significant danger to the United States. So get this. The committee issued a stinging critique of U.S. intelligence on Iran, and they charged that the CIA and other agencies lack the ability to acquire essential information necessary to make judgments on Iran's nuclear program, or its intentions, or even its ties to terrorism. Now, Hoekstra should not be returned to office for this blatant breach of confidentiality. That's point one. But if the report says in detail that our spy agencies do not know what's going on inside of Iran, then how can our president and his war hawks say that there's a nuclear program going on there? Well, the bottom line is they simply cannot because they're lying. Well, now think about it. The information that they leaked was a stinging rebuke of the CIA saying that the CIA doesn't know what the hell's going on in Iran. If that statement was true, then if we don't know what's going on there, then how in the hell can we say that they've got a nuclear weapons program? You know, so let's start thinking. Now, we're going to go to war against Iran. Just make up your minds to that. It's coming. Just like war with Iraq was coming. War with Iran is coming. War with Syria is coming. Now, whether that's a good policy or a bad policy, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to criticize the president. Iran has approximately 10% of the world's known oil reserves. Iraq has 25% and Saudi Arabia has 35%. Now, add 35 and 35. That 70% of all the oil reserves in the world are in these three countries. And then there's a little bit more in places like Bahrain and Kuwait and a few other odd little emirates around there. And then there's the rest of the world has about 25%. Now, you think about that for a second. And then you ask yourself, well, why is it that we're so preoccupied with Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan? Well, Afghanistan, I reported to you a little earlier, is the biggest source of heroin in the world. And in the year 2000, the Taliban, those bad guys, the guys that we went to war against, you know, the nasties? All right. They had eradicated heroin production in Afghanistan on religious grounds. See, they're Muslims, and they think that heroin's bad, wicked, terrible, awful, and evil. So without a war on drugs, and without any foreign aid from the United States, and without a military presence such as we have in Colombia, down South America, these fundamentalist religious kooks over there just eradicated heroin production. Get this. In the year 2006, this year, the crop, the heroin crop, the poppy crop in Afghanistan is the biggest in the history of the country. We Americans, from the time we took over in Afghanistan, have restored heroin production in Afghanistan to not only what it was prior to the Taliban, we have now exceeded that production. This is the biggest crop in history. Now, it would seem like to me that if you wanted to eliminate drugs, you should hire the Taliban and put them in as the force in charge in Colombia or in Washington, D.C., because they have a track record. They've already eradicated drug production and drug consumption in their country, Afghanistan, when they were in power. The Americans, with all of the billions of dollars and with all the drug czars and with all the hoop and all the hop and all the hype and all the holler that goes on with it, it gets bigger and bigger and better, doesn't it? Which just goes to show you that the eradication of drugs is not the objective of American foreign policy. All right, so there's that story. It comes out of, keep in mind here, the International Forecaster. Let me give you their webpage over here, too, because this is probably the preeminent, the number one, the best, all around. You know, not necessarily the best newsletter, but the best all around newsletter for news, for economics, politics. It's called the International Forecaster. And if you want to go to their website, it's called theinternationalforecaster.com. See how simple that is? www.theinternationalforecaster.com, all one word, .com. And they've got an email address. It's called internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. internationalforecaster@yahoo.com. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School or the Law Hour, please go to our website, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives. It can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. And that's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, history, religion, health, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or that we recommend are going to reciprocate and recommend us. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not shared in total by the Law Hour and Editorial Review or vice versa. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the International Forecaster, current edition. Just covered Representative Peter Hoekstra and more of the smoke and mirrors, as old President Bush used to call it back in 1992, smoke and mirrors. Little propaganda out there. Europeans don't want to impose strict measures against Iran because they know Bush is lying and they do not want to grapple with oil prices at $125 to $200 a barrel. They're not economically suicidal. Let's just take a look at this. Oil's at $70 a barrel and gasoline is $3 a gallon. So when oil goes to $140 a barrel, then I would suspect that gasoline will be at about $6 a gallon. And at $200 a barrel, that'd be about three times. That'd be the 3, 6, 9. Gasoline should be around $9 a gallon by the time we get through with the invasion with Iran. $9 a gallon gas. Tuck that one away in your heart. Robert Toll of the Toll Brothers Builders, whose shares of which were short, says, "It would be difficult to characterize the position of home builders as other than in a hard landing. In his 50 years as a home builder, he says that he has never seen a slump unfold like the current slump." Now, I've seen a downturn in housing, he said, without a downturn in employment or some macroeconomic nasty condition that took housing down along with other elements of the economy. But this time you have low unemployment, you have adequate job creation, a stable stock market, and relatively low interest rates. Now, that's a quote from Mr. Toll, businessman, and Toll Brothers now is one of the largest home builders in the nation. It's a big multi-state corporation. They're out here building subdivisions all over America. Now, he says, this is Bob Chapman, says, "What Mr. Toll doesn't seem to understand is that government statistics are all lies, and that all of the markets are being manipulated, and that's why he has been caught flat-footed, and his stock is plunging. You can see again how government lies are hurting American business and American investors. In San Diego County, the median home sale price was $487,000 in July. Now, that was down 2% from a year earlier. And in Northern Virginia, counties of Fairfax and Arlington and towns near Washington, prices were averaging $537,000 in July, which was down 4% from a year earlier. KB Homes in Los Angeles has laid off 7% of its workforce. That's about 440 jobs. The net of three polls is 40% approval for President Bush. All the support came from Republicans on the terrorism issue. Now, our contacts tell us that U.S. air travel has just dropped 42%. Now, as I speak, just last week, or maybe the week before, there was a terrorist plot uncovered over in London. And as a result of that, a week or 10 days later, now we find that air traffic is down 42%. People evidently have been scared out of the skies. Well, not only did existing home sales fall by 4%, but sales of new homes followed. They're off 4% also. In one of the best-selling months of the year, July, and inventories of new homes rose to an 11-year high. Sales have now fallen 21% year over year, and year to date they're down 14%. July sales were the lowest since February. Inventories of unsold homes rose 1%, representing a 6.5-month supply. Inventories are up 22% year over year, and the median price is $230,000. Regionally, sales fell 21% in the Midwest, 8% in the South, while sales were rising 11% in the West, 2% in the Northeast, and in the past year, sales are down 42% in the Northeast, 35% in the Midwest, 23% in the West, and 12% in the South. So if history is any indicator, housing leads stocks. Housing leads stocks, both higher and lower by about 1 year. So as we're watching the housing market, as it's going down, you can just about bet that stocks will be following the housing in about 1 year. So tuck it away in your heart. I wouldn't be holding stocks personally at this juncture of time. especially if it's denominated in U.S. dollars. If you're holding stocks in Europe or someplace else, that might be another story. But here in the United States, we're poised now for a big break in the stock market. The government's been lying to us about inflation, the consumer price index, the producer price index, employment, inflation. I mean, you name it, and they're lying to us about it. And they have been for 6 years. Now, this creates huge distortions out there in the marketplace. And then one of these days, something's going to happen that's going to trigger a reversal. And when it happens, things are going to go to hell in a handbasket in short order. So, as you have probably heard, Russia just surpassed Saudi Arabia as the biggest oil producer in the world. Now, that's a piece of news to tuck away in your heart. Saudi Arabia, with 35% of the world's oil supply, the proven reserves, has been the largest producer of oil, in the last 25 years, at least since 1970. The largest single producer of oil in the world. Well, they've just been surpassed by Russia. Now, keep your eyes on the Russians. The Russians and the Chinese have been our enemies throughout the Cold War, beginning in, approximately 1920, right after the Bolshevik Revolution. And they have been seeking world domination and superiority over the West. Then in 1989, it was announced that the Soviet Union collapsed, the Cold War was over, and we won the Cold War. Remember that? All right. Now, in the contest from 1920 to 1990, in that 70-year period, we Americans have adopted all 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and the Russians and the Chinese have not adopted one principle from our Bill of Rights, or one principle from the Ten Commandments, nor have they surrendered or given up one point or principle of the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. And yet we have declared ourselves to be the winner of the Cold War. Now there's a battle spoken of in Bible prophecy called the Battle of Armageddon. It's the last great military escapade of mankind on planet Earth. Well, at least until the last military campaign, which comes at the end of the millennium. But we're just about there. Now, tuck it away in your heart. Listen to this. Israel just signed a contract for 2 Dolphin-class submarines that will provide a superior second-strike nuclear capability for the Israelis. Now, a number of people in Germany are up in arms over the giveaway because they say it crosses the line between defensive and offensive weapons. And they believe the sale is a complete renunciation of Germany's policy of non-proliferation. So now, the Israelis have just bought 2 submarines, Dolphin-class submarines, evidently from Germany, which have the capacity now of launching nuclear-tipped missiles from the submarine launching pad. Now, I thought only the Soviet Union and the United States had those. Evidently, Germany must also be manufacturing those type of submarines. Anyway, they've just sold 2 of them to the Israelis, and it gives the Israelis now a second strike. What they're going to do is they're going to back off with these nuclear subs off the coast, and then if they get overrun on the mainland, they'll unleash that nuclear destruction against the Arabs. Now, isn't that going to be just real special? Now, Israel's not very big. It's only about the size of Massachusetts. Lebanon isn't very big. And it shouldn't take too long to overrun those 2 little countries over there, if there's any size military force, something on the order of a 200 million man army from China. I think they could probably overrun the little country over there called Israel. Now that's going to bring in this war with Iran is going to really get things cooking over there, because the Chinese and the Russians both have defense treaties with Iran. Now the Federal Reserve continues to pour money and credit into the economy, as you have seen in our estimated M3 figures. Incidentally, we're the only financial publication that publishes these M3 figures by calculating M1, M2, and money and credit in circulation to come up with an M3 number. This has been going on for 6 years, and it's been averaging about 10% of new money creation per year. Now, this new money creation has indeed buoyed the economy, keeping it from collapsing into recession and depression. And this has given our government and our citizens the biggest debt in recorded history. In just this short period, 6 years, savers have lost more than half of their purchasing power. And we know that it takes two salaries to fund a family, and we still save minus 1.5% in our savings accounts. Now, do you borrow or do you work longer hours? This is why gold and silver have been rising as inflation has been increasing. Gold and silver are a store of value. In silver, more is consumed than is being produced, and the stockpile of silver in inventory diminishes every day. Gold consumption worldwide exceeds supply by 1,500 tons a year. And if it were not for the temporary suppression by our Treasury and the Federal Reserve, gold would already be well over $850 an ounce. The conclusion is that the value of the dollar and the economy will fall as the Fed continues to issue new money and credit at a very rapid rate of 10% a year, and eventually gold and silver will be the only place to put your trust. Now, once in a while I get a letter in here and it asks me, well, how in the world can these people suppress the price of gold? And the answer is very simple. And they do it by what we call shorting. The Bank of England is the primary culprit. It isn't that the Federal Reserve doesn't get in on the act, but prices of gold and silver set in London every morning. So let's suppose that the powers that be, the Committee of 300, the Federal Reserve, the Bank of England, says, oh my God, the price of gold is $730 an ounce, and we've got to drive the price of gold down to $630 an ounce. You'll notice over the last 60 days or so that the price of gold through July and August dropped off of that $730 high down to about $630, which is where it's just staying right there. It's not going up, it's not going down. Well, here's what happens. In the gold market, 82% of gold is traded in paper. Nobody takes possession of it. We're just dealing with demands and storage prices, because there's gold in a warehouse somewhere. About 18% of gold is actually physically traded, and people that trade in physicals have possession of it. So the Bank of England isn't putting up 1 ounce of gold when they offer gold for sale to you for $630 an ounce. I mean, after all, if the Bank of England says to you, Tom, we'll sell you gold for $630, why would you pay George Gordon $730? So what does that do to the price of gold? It drives it down $100. Now, in theory, the Bank of England could drive the price of gold down to 30 cents an ounce if they wanted to. All they have to do is agree to sell you gold at 30 cents an ounce for future delivery next year. And if the price of gold, for any other reason, goes up to $600, they've got the power to print the money and pay you the difference. Now, it's not going down to 30 cents, but they can manipulate it up and down $100, as was aptly evidenced by the rise of gold to 730 and then its abrupt decline to 550 or thereabouts. So they ran it down by $180 an ounce, and they've held it now at $630. And the only people that could do that are the people who have the power of the printing press to go out and print the money to pay off the difference between what gold will be a year from now and what they've promised to sell it to you for. So by using the short side of the ledger, they can drive the price down. And that's because the people who are out there buying and selling gold are buying it on paper. And if they actually went in and said, if all the people out there that have all this paper, if all of them all at the same time walked over to the warehouses and said, give us our gold, let me show you how short the world is in gold. It would take all of the future production at 2,500 tons a year for 15 years to pay it off. That's how inflated the gold market is. 15 years sold forward, they call that. All right, the solution to that is when you buy gold, take physical possession and bury it in a hole in the ground in your own backyard. That's the way to solve that problem. Now, one of these days, when the cat's out of the bag, when too many people come in and say, give me physical possession, then the game will be over. They won't be able to pay, and all of you people will hit the panic switch, and then you'll want to move out of the stock market and get into gold, but it'll be too late. I was talking to a student the other day, and he said, I think I'll sell my house over here. Well, you know, a couple of years ago, or 3 years ago, I told this same guy, I said, if I was running that show, I'd sell that house. And then the market peaked last June, in June of 2005, and now the market's on the way down. Now, that doesn't mean that houses aren't selling, it just means that they're not going to sell for as much as you could have got last June in 2005, a little over a year ago. And it's, you know, if you sell it today, you'll probably get more for it than you're going to get, you know, next June, July, or August. But you missed the top. And it could well be that you may have to ride this all the way back down to the bottom and then back up to the next top. So tuck that one away in your heart. George and the neocons, this is George Bush and the new conservatives, are recalling 2,500 Marines, but lost in the shuffle is the 14,000 inactive Army troops who are now fighting the war on terror, and we're hearing from our sources there are now 40,000 military personnel who are AWOL, or as it's now called, AWAL, that's absent without authorized leave. You got 40,000 people. Now, you know, you've got a force over in Iraq of 130,000. About one out of every three soldiers is AWOL. If it's 40, 80, 120, and 160,000, it's one out of every four. So I don't know how they're calculating that. It's one out of every three or one out of every four now in Iraq is AWOL. Now, how do you like that? The timing of this buildup, from our viewpoint, is to augment forces to move into Iran and Syria. Unbeknownst to us, a major buildup has been going on in Iraq while the public is being misled into believing that troops will be pulled out of Iraq by the end of the year. It's also estimated that there are now 18,000 mercenaries in Iraq and Afghanistan. Hard up for recruits, 15,000 new U.S. citizens who were naturalized the week of July 4th consisted in large part of illegal aliens who wanted U.S. citizenship. Foreign legal residents compose 3% of the U.S. military and they're becoming citizens in record numbers. The largest group is from the Philippines, some 25%. And incidentally, a contingent of mercenaries is present in Azerbaijan, supposedly to train locals. So if you wondered how long the elitists intend to stay in Iraq, keep in mind that they are building the largest U.S. embassy in the world, and they're building it in Baghdad, Iraq. You got that? The largest foreign embassy, the largest American embassy in the world, is being built in Baghdad. And it will be comprised of 21 buildings across 104 acres. As far as the death count is concerned, mercenaries and other contractors do not get counted in the death statistics. These mercenaries make between $80,000 and $350,000 a year. So if you didn't know this before, we have a large private mercenary force over in Iraq, which is paid for at the rate of $80,000 to $350,000 a year. We hire mercenary soldiers to augment our regular military forces there. Now, there's no question that the Iraq Civil War was created to take pressure off the U.S. personnel. As we wrote 3 years ago, eventually Iraq will be Balkanized if the elitists have their way. The war on terror is a war designed to proliferate beyond Afghanistan and Iraq. This is a global war, or, as it's called, perpetual war for perpetual peace, as the public is now slowly being told that this global war was going to last beyond their lifetimes, or war without end. It's a controlled culling process. This is why there is a backdoor draft and a perpetual need for new troops. Next, there will be a civilian draft, and it's coming. Just be patient. If it wasn't coming, then why is our government doing what it's doing? A massive mobilization is now underway. The government has awarded 70% of its contracts for Hurricane Katrina work without full competition. They've been wasting hundreds of millions of dollars. Out of $10 billion in contracts, more than $7 billion was no bid. Now, this is in Louisiana. No bid. 19 contracts worth $9 billion were found to have wasted taxpayer money, costing hundreds of millions of dollars. In the first month of contracts, September, 51% were no bid. October, 93% were no bid. FEMA awarded 57% of contracts by way of no bid. The Democrats faulted FEMA for recently awarding a new $400 million in temporary housing contracts for future disaster work that may never occur. What is it, or what it is a loan to Fluor, CH2M Hill, Bechtel, and Shaw Environmental. The Shaw Group lobbyist, Joe Albaugh, is a former FEMA director and lifelong friend of President Bush, while Bechtel CEO Riley Bechtel served on President Bush's Export Council in 2003 and 2004. All of these companies, along with Halliburton, are on a gravy train at our expense, and billions of dollars are being stolen. Now, President Bush is about 33 or 34% in the polls for everything except terror, where he's up to around 40%. And the Congress is down at 27%, which tells me there's not much likelihood that the Republicans in a straight-up fair election are going to be returned to office. That's what makes me suspicious that there will not be an election in November. Hey, we're just about out of time. I got to leave it right there. We'll be back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, talking about current events on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, which you've been listening to. And the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. All of these law or programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.